I want to mention that Sue Kleinmore was taken to the hospital this afternoon. It was an infection in her foot. So I need to keep Sister Sue in our prayers. She's being treated this evening. And of course, we have so many others who we've been talking about, mentioning over the last few weeks. So we're mindful of those affected by whether it's COVID or other things going on that we know about. And we've been living in unusual times. It continues to be that way with the way our culture has been over the last year or so, and things improving in a lot of ways, but still a lot of things on people's minds that are thinking about and are troubling. So I need to be prayerful in all things, as the Word teaches us to pray without ceasing. No point, no season of our life is a point where we don't pray. And so we need to always be going to the Lord for guidance and strength when times are difficult. Let's go to our Father for a word of prayer before our lesson. Lord, we are thankful this evening that you have allowed us to meet again here tonight and to share these things with each other, to encourage one another, lift each other up, to spend just a few more minutes in study and worship and thinking about all the blessings you give us each day. Today was not guaranteed to us yesterday, but we are alive today and able to know these things and able to live this beautiful life you've given us. There are many tonight who are hurting, who need special attention. Be with Josh Campbell, be with Sister Sue Clymore, be with Charles Ball, be with Ann Reed as she's still being treated, Christine Garrett. Be with Caden Fulcher and others who are hurting and this evening and are struggling with what happens next and which way to go and what treatment is best and all those types of things. We pray that you strengthen the families and nurses and doctors who care for these who are hurting. We are most thankful for your son who died for us, who gives us salvation, who shed his blood and made the sacrifice, the permanent sacrifice for our sins. And then by believing in him and obeying the gospel, that our sins are washed away. We're thankful for that peace that comes with that, and the hope that we have of eternal salvation in heaven. We pray tonight that you bless our study as we open your word and spend time thinking about things that are spiritual. Help us to push away the things of the world and think about things that are not of this world but are heavenly. Continue to give us mercy and grace and forgive us when we sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we talked about criticism, or being a critic, or giving judgments to things. And those of you who are with us this morning, want to go through a little bit of that, because tonight is sort of phase two, or part two of this study about criticism. We talked about the type of critic we need to be when we judge, when we critique, and some things to think about along those lines. First of all, we said we need to criticize the sin and not the person. And we looked in Psalm 25, where David said, "Please don't remember my sins. Based on your love, remember me. Think of me lovingly." And we said that's what we all need to do. We critique someone, correct their sin. The Bible says we reprove and rebuke those who are in sin. Paul told Timothy to do that, along with exhorting them. But when we rebuke, that we rebuke the sin and let the person know that we love them, let the person know that we see them as a child of God made in his image, and that we are doing this for their benefit, not for rejection, but for restoration. And then we said that the second thing we need to think about when we are critical is that we need to avoid exaggeration and use words like always and never. Because those are always, will always get us in trouble. And nobody is never one thing or the other. There are times that that person doesn't do certain things, and they don't always do something. But we talked about children, how they hear those words, you're never going to be this, or you're always going to be this way, and they never hear anything else you say. They just hear those words that are so harmful to their minds and their souls. Then we talked about, consider your motives. What is your objection? And we mentioned that already about not rejecting someone, not to correct them as to get rid of them from your life, but to build them up. And we looked at Galatians 6:1. It says, you restore someone with a spirit of gentleness. That the purpose of a correction or a critique is to help them, not to hurt them. And we don't do those things to get revenge on someone or get back at someone. Simply to improve their lives. And we said fourth that we never need to be known as a critic. We talked about Barnabas. Barnabas, we said, surely, every day of his life made a judgment. Every day of his life was critical of something. But that wasn't what he was known for. He was known as the son of encouragement. The apostle said, this man encourages so much, that's what he's known for. Even though at times, surely, he critiqued his people around him who were doing things they shouldn't be doing. We shouldn't be known as critics. We shouldn't be known as people who are constantly wagging our fingers at others. We need to be known as encouragers. And then the last point, the one that wasn't on the PowerPoint, but we talked about it anyway, was sometimes you must change the words of the criticism or the person doing the criticizing. Sometimes you just stop. Sometimes the message isn't getting across, but hey, you're on record. They know how you feel about it. You've shown them where they've gone wrong. And if it hasn't worked, then you have to do something else. You have to stop or use different words. Use a different method. But more often, just need to put it aside for a while. Stop talking about that thing. We did mention this morning, but what often happens is somebody will, that actually hardens some people. The more you talk about it, the more they're going to do the other thing. I'll show them. And they'll do some things out of spite just to try to show you that you're wrong. We don't need that to happen. We also said that, you know, in this world today, young people particularly are hearing so many more messages from the world. And mom and dad say things, and grandparents say things, and aunts and uncles say things, and I think all of us went through a stage of life where those voices didn't matter as much anymore. But the voice of the friend, the voice of the girlfriend, the boyfriend, the voice of somebody, a teacher at school, a coach, they'll listen to that person. And so at times you may want to talk to that person and say, hey, help me out here. They'll listen to me, even though I'm mom, even though I'm dad, even though, and why won't they listen? Well, it's just not the voice they're going to listen to. We'd like it to be different. We'd like it that they'd always listen to mom and dad, but they don't. And so maybe you have to change who's doing the talking to get the message across. That was all this morning, just talking about how to be better in our judgments, in our critiques at times. But let's move on tonight and talk about how to receive correction. Let's turn the tables and look at it from the other side. Not being the critic, but one who receives the lesson. How can you be a good receiver of a lesson? See, we said this morning at the beginning of the lesson that one of the reasons everybody's a critic is because it's so easy, particularly in the social media world we live in. It's easy to be a critic. What's really hard, though, is to receive criticism. There are very few people on this planet who say, boy, I'd love for somebody to tell me that I'm doing wrong. I love it. It's one of my favorite things is somebody to tell me that I had an idea that was wrong or I did something that was wrong. That's just how we are as human beings. You just don't like it. It takes a very, very, very mature person to truly enjoy being corrected, receiving correction. But the Bible says so often in the book of Proverbs, the benefit of being corrected, of why it's good for you. Well, so just turn, if you have your Bibles, you see the passages there on the screen. We're just going to turn the pages here and just read these verses. There's not many listed here. There's a lot more in the book of Proverbs. But listen to how likely Solomon, in writing here, notice how he says how good it is to receive instruction. The seventh verse in chapter 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Think about that. You say, I don't want to listen to anybody. Nobody can talk to me. Nobody can judge me. Nobody's going to critique me. The Bible says you're being foolish. And why would that be the case? Well, it would be the case because you don't know everything. I don't know everything. All of us have, we would say, blind spots in our lives where either we deliberately want to avoid something or we truly are ignorant, which means we just don't know something, and where somebody else can come along and say, hey, I know something about that. But the person says, no, don't tell me. Don't tell me anything about what, anything involved in my life. Well, the Bible says that's foolish. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So you go on to chapter 8. Chapter 8 and verse 33. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Move on to chapter 12 and verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But he who hates reproof, this might be a bad word in your house, but it's in my Bible, is stupid. He who hates reproof is stupid. Because you can't get smart if you refuse to learn, if you refuse to be taught. So it goes, it's logical. Chapter 15, and verse 5. A fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is sensible. Verse 32, same chapter. He who neglects discipline despises himself, but he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. Chapter 19, verse 20. Listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. And then finally, back to chapter 9. Verse 7. He who corrects a scoffer gets dishonor for himself. He who reproves a wicked man gets insults for himself. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We can look at verse after verse after verse of this book that says, you need to love to learn. Not just book knowledge, not just things that you learn on the Discovery Channel, something like that. That book's all good. We need to keep learning in those ways too. The book of Proverbs says there are things regarding your spiritual life, your character, your moral standards, your ethics, your maturity, all of those things. We need to always be striving to improve. you've heard me mention before about the people that asked Michelangelo how he made the statue of David. He said, I just cut away everything that wasn't there. Just cut away everything that just wasn't him. I mean, just, that's easy. You want to build something, just cut away all the stuff that isn't that. Sounds a lot simpler, doesn't it? Well, if we're trying to be in the likeness of Christ, we need to cut away all the things that aren't Christ. And we need to surround ourselves with people who will help us do that. Who will come along and say, hey, here's this part over here you haven't chipped away yet. And maybe you don't even notice it. Maybe you haven't even thought about that part of your life. But I can see it. So let's do this together. Let me help you chip away that part that doesn't represent Christ. There are a lot of reasons why we don't like correction. And your own reasons are your reasons. You probably have your own set of reasons. First of all, we don't like the corrector. You don't like the correction a lot of times because the person doing the correcting, you don't like that person. Again, we talked earlier about sometimes people will listen if it's coming from the right person. But a lot of times, you just don't want to hear from that person for any number of reasons. You don't feel like they don't love you enough. You feel like that their own personal lives are not up to par. They're not at a moral standard that's why you're going to listen to them. It could be any number of reasons. You say, I just don't like this person. I'm not going to listen to them. That's pretty common among most people. Secondly, the correction isn't always accurate. Somebody comes along and says, this is something that you need to change or you need to do or something you said. You say, wait a minute, that's not what happened. So you don't listen to anything else they say, even if the rest of it is true. You say, you haven't got the story right. So I'm not going to listen. Well, also, the thing about the correction process was not handled respectfully. There's another reason why people don't listen. Maybe every single thing that was said was true, but the process wasn't right. The time wasn't right. The environment for the conversation wasn't right. In debate, this is called an ad hominem attack, Latin. You say, what does that mean? Maybe you've heard that phrase before. Ad hominem means that you attack the person instead of the argument. And sometimes if somebody comes along, they feel like they're being personally attacked. You're attacking me instead of, let's discuss this issue. And that's not a fair way to go about things. If you critique someone, maybe you should have talked about that more this morning. But we don't make personal attacks at somebody because they did something wrong. Talk about the thing they did wrong. Don't say, well, call them names or attack their education or insult them in some way. That's called ad hominem attack. It's attacking the person. And sometimes we don't want to hear from somebody who's attacking us personally and just making insults. Of course, you're not going to listen to somebody in that situation. So how should we receive instruction? Just a few things and we'll be finished. How should we receive instruction? The Bible tells us, first of all, we need to remember something, is that you learn all the time. We talked a lot tonight about how you don't want to receive instruction. We just, as human beings, don't want to be corrected. But if you take the time to think about it, you listen to instruction all the time. You learn, you adjust your life all the time. You say, no, I don't. I'll do what I want. Well, no, you do what you do because you heard somebody on the radio, on the internet, on television, your third cousin, somebody you wanted to listen to said, hey, this thing is cool to wear. This car is neat to drive. This is the type of house. And you learned from them, and so that's what you decided to do. We learn all the time. We correct our own mistakes all the time. We see how somebody else does it. We learn from them. So when it comes to somebody coming up to you and saying, hey, here's something that needs to be corrected, we need to start by just remembering, hey, this is just somebody else that I'm learning from in a world of people that I'm learning from every day. We're listening to people all day long, give messages, give advice, give an example of how to do something. Well, if we're going to do that all day, surely we can listen to one more person, and probably that person who's correcting us is somebody who actually knows us, who actually loves us, knows our past and has an investment in our lives. Surely you'd want to listen to that person versus all of the other instruction that we get on a daily basis. So we can start sort of that premise. But the Bible says, first of all, if you're going to receive criticism, you're going to receive instruction, first, you just listen. How do you receive criticism? You listen. Simple enough, but hard to do. You don't get a college degree in listening, but you get a college degree in speaking, in communication. People tend to not be very good listeners. Proverbs 19:27 says, cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Cease listening to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. You're not going to learn unless you listen. You keep running away from people who are trying to help, people who are trying to instruct, people who are trying to give you knowledge, life's going to get a lot harder. The best listeners who I've ever known are the people who seem to know how to do a lot of things. The people who seem to know how to do life, to put it that way, who seem to know how to navigate situations, They're not big talkers. They're good listeners. They're people who will sit and listen to something on, you know, they're needing to learn how to do something. So they'll turn on the YouTube clip, listen to somebody talk about it, listen to somebody else, call a friend. They're always gaining knowledge. And in spiritual matters, when you see somebody who's a little more mature spiritually, you see somebody who's a little farther down the road, you say, you know, I don't need to be the one doing the talking as much. I need to listen. We just need to stop talking and listen. James tells us famously in the book of James, the New Testament, that we need to be slow to speak, quick to hear, quick to listen. Somebody wrote a very lengthy critique of Ira North years ago. Can't remember if I told you the story. Several pages back in the day when you just wrote long letters. Brother North preaching at Madison Church of Christ in those days, and just went on and on about something he had done or the church had done, and it was quite strident, very critical. Got to the end, and he responded to the letter simply with one sentence. He said, you may be right. Our North. You may be right. No argument. No equal number of pages response. No, well, you misspelled three words, so I'm not going to listen to you. No, you're not as smart as I am, so I'm not going to listen to you. No, how many times, how long have you been a member of this church, and you haven't been here long enough for me to listen to you? Just said, you may be right. Who knows? You may be right. I think we need to respond a lot of times with that. Listen to people. Just think about it. They may be right. We don't have to instantly feel like they're wrong. So we need to listen. Secondly, as the verse we read earlier from Proverbs 9 verse 10, we need to fear the Lord. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God is God and you are not. When you start to realize that God made you, you start to realize God made the universe. When you realize that you're one of 7 billion people, which doesn't minimize your value on this earth, but it reminds you that you don't run everything. It reminds you that you're in a world of other people as well, who have problems, who have difficulties, who have pain in life. And then there's a lot of wisdom out there. When you start recognizing all of those things, you produce a lot of humility. And when you have that humility, then you're a lot more apt to listen. And not think, I know everything about everything, nobody can tell me anything. Well, you're kind of making yourself sound like God. God knows everything. God knows what's going to happen in the future. God knows everything that happened in the past. So when you put yourself in a position to say, nobody's going to teach me about it, I've got it. Well, that sounds a lot like God. The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You become a lot wiser when you realize you're not Him. If you know who He is, you start relying on Him for understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. And third, remember you're not perfect. We know Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're very quick to quote that verse regarding salvation. Most people are quick to say, I've sinned. People are quick to say, I'm not perfect. But a lot of those same people, when the slightest correction comes along, when the slightest instruction comes along, act like they've never sinned. On one hand, quick to say, oh yeah, I sinned, and somebody points it out, no, you're wrong. I've got a reason I did that, I have an excuse of why I did that. So which is it? I think we need to believe Romans 3:23 in regard to the gospel, but we also need to remember Romans 3:23 in regard to our daily living. So when you receive instruction or criticism, listen, because they may be right. Fear the Lord. Remember, you're not perfect. You've heard someone say before, if you cease to learn, you cease to live. I think that's true. I think those who strive to learn about themselves, strive to learn about the world around them, to keep searching for knowledge, that helps them get up in the morning. Gives a little hope for tomorrow. Those who say, I know it all, nothing more to learn, nothing more to live for, they lose a lot of hope in life. But don't learn too much. You say, what in the world does that mean? Don't learn too much. I think this helps us in accepting criticism. That's a line from a preacher friend of mine named Jerry Barber, who I was talking to one year at the Fried Hardeman Lectures, and he said, I said, I enjoyed the week. He said, oh yeah, it's been great. Heard so many great lectures. Didn't learn too much. It was great. Wait a minute. But you said you didn't learn. You mean you did learn. He said, oh no, I didn't learn a lot. You're going to have to explain that one. He said, well, I know I can't take home with me an hour lecture somebody's talking about. He said, I can't write it all down. I can't remember all of it. It's too much. But there are things that I'm not going to forget that I did learn. It wasn't much. But there are a lot of things that I held on to and I learned. And I think that's a good approach when it comes to criticism. A lot of the times you'll be critiqued on things because somebody just
got too emotional, they got too mad. And so you have to kind of decipher and filter out some things, and you find a bit of truth in it. You say, you know, a lot of this was a lot of bluster, but you know, in the middle of all that, there's something that I can really learn from. Didn't learn a lot, but I learned something. I think when anybody talks to us about anything, hopefully they have our best interest at heart. Hopefully they love us and some of those things we talked about this morning. We can learn a little bit, chip away the things that aren't Christ, use those things to help others. Remember all those proverbs that says you run away from instruction, you run away from wisdom. Your life is going to be very hectic. It's going to be very disorganized. You're not going to mature. You're not going to grow. Life becomes very difficult. You need to trust the Lord. You need to be instructed by the Lord. And the Bible teaches us about the gospel. The Bible teaches us that we all have sin. The Bible teaches us that Jesus died for us. The Bible also teaches us how to respond to the gift of Jesus and the sacrifice he made on the cross. And that is to believe, to have faith. An abiding, lifelong faith in him. Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Just as Philip asked the eunuch, when he said, "Here's water, what hinders me from being baptized?" Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." Need to repent of your sins. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, "Unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish." And of course, in every case in the book of Acts, when people did believe, when they did respond, they were baptized. They didn't wait. They didn't hesitate. They knew what they needed to do. They knew the promises that came with it. And they accepted the salvation that was being offered. If you need to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, please do so this evening. By responding, if you need prayers tonight, please also don't hesitate in asking. We'd love to pray with you and help you in any way we can. Whatever it is, please come while we stand and sing.